Hello everyone, welcome to the Talking BizTech. I'm your host, Saqif, and today we are going to talk about higher education for international students in Canada. But before we do that, I just want to request all of you to make sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell for more podcasts like this. And I want to thank our sponsor, All Innovative Solution, a digital marketing startup helping small to mid-sized businesses with their online presence. And I want to thank Revideo, which is a technological company in the Silicon Valley, helping entrepreneurs with media and software solutions. And if you want to be a part of the Revideo community, the link is down in the description box. Okay, so back to the topic. Canada is a very attractive country for international students to pursue their higher education. However, there are other countries that are also considered as dream countries, such as Australia, United Kingdom, and Germany. These countries also have top universities. Traveling by air can be very challenging for international students. Canada has a better opportunities for international students if they want to live in a specific country after they complete their graduation. The reason air travel can be challenging because of the cancellation of flights or delays, and this can create a hassle. However, there are some countries that are ahead of with their travel arrangement, such as the United States, because majority of their population are vaccinated. So my guest for today's episode is Tohit Khan, who works closely with the international students. He is currently doing PhD at University of Waterloo in the School of Public Health and Health System. He's a researcher, a writer, and a speaker. So let me just go ahead and bring him on Talking BizTech. Tohit Khan, sir, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. I'm excited to get my first dose of vaccination this weekend. And Tohit, sir, before we get into the topic, I just want to get to know you a little better. Tell me about your background and what is your educational background?
Okay, thank you so much. So, very good evening from Bangladesh, the audience, and you especially.
Good evening.
And you know, yeah, thank you. So, in terms of my educational background, you know, I passed secondary school certificate exam from a school in sub district like Upojela, that is called Gojeria Munshigunj, and then I passed like intermediate, I mean HSC, from Dhaka College. And I had both bachelor and master's, first master's from Dhaka University, and majoring in sociology. So, like, you know, yeah. So, due to the standing, like the first class, first position, I was awarded Dean's Award from the Faculty of Social Sciences, University of Dhaka. And then I, you know, in Bangladesh, in university or academia, the entry post is lecturer, that is called lecturer. So, and this recruitment happens only based on the academic result from your SSC to master's.
That is true.
Yeah, so fortunately, I was fortunate to have all excellent results from my, you know, all four public exams, you can say.
Wow.
That's why I got the opportunity to join in a public company funded university,
yeah.
Jagannath University, just immediate after passing my master's. But yeah, I was in the meantime, I was teaching in a as a full-time lecturer in a private university also for around 6 months in Dhaka, that is Bangladesh University of Business and Technology. So, and being promoted as an assistant professor in 2015, I left Bangladesh for Canada for my second master's in Child and Youth Studies in Brock University, St. Catherine, Ontario. And that was 2 years research-based master's program. I completed that master's program in 2018. And, you know, that was very, I think, the most charming time in Canada ever, since now for me. That was fully funded program. So, I had the scholarship I was provided, that, you know, that covered everything, my living, tuition, travel, everything.
Wow.
And the one of the recognition I got from the program, like the Faculty of Social Science Student Research Award for my research,
yeah,
from Brock University. So without any break, I just applied a couple of universities for my PhD, UFT, York, and University of Waterloo. So even though I got the opportunity with full funding from all of the university, but I chose the University of Waterloo for my PhD in public health.
Yeah.
So yeah, so now I'm doing PhD. Basically, I'm the PhD candidate in University of Waterloo.
Oh wow,
yeah.
That's amazing. So you have it's good that you have you had to go through a really good result in order to get the opportunity. And it's very amazing, inspiring to a lot of people. My next question to you is, how did, can you tell me about your journey, about your path to being a professor and a researcher?
Yeah, you know, that's, I already mentioned, like, that the entry post in Bangladesh is a lecturer. So
yeah,
as I was first in my bachelor,
yeah,
and you know, and like, you know, I had outstanding academic records,
yeah,
and background. So it was not challenging for me to, you know, get a university faculty position, because the only criteria is the academic reason, unlike the developed country. So, so that was when I joined the university. So naturally, university teacher main responsibility is to teach and conducting research, right? So. So that's why, like, naturally, I became a researcher simultaneously. So, and I had always passionate about research, and that's why I choose North America, like either America or Canada, for my higher studies, like the PhD. And even though I had first master's, but I was keen to have a second master's to just get into the North American education system and research system. So that was very successful I had, and I'm
yeah,
very comfortable doing PhD. So and meantime I have some of the publication from very reputed journal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
What is your current focus at University of Waterloo, and what was your MA research at Brock University?
Okay, Basically, in my MA research, that was the qualitative research. So basically, I analyze how you know, young men, you know, overall, like in general, I can say how boys, you know, experience and navigate with the sex education in Bangladesh. So I collected data from young men who provided me their recollection when they were in adolescence, you know. So, you know, how they navigated sexuality in sex education, how they're informed about this sexuality. Because, you know, in Bangladesh, there is no formal sex education curriculum. So then, so that was very interesting, like, you know, because whenever we talk about sex education, sexual violence, everything, we focus on the girls and women, right?
Yes. So,
but it's also important to provide proper guidelines, proper education with boys when you embark on your adolescence, because adolescence is a turmoil time, because everything we face very new, right? So that is the time. My argument was, it's important to provide a guideline. So, you know, similar to girls, boys also needs a sex education. So that's I explore how, you know, Bangladeshi boys experience with the sex education. And still I'm working, you know, my method and approach and also my theoretical framework is the same, my research field is a little bit different now. What I'm doing now, my focus now is Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
Like, you know, recently, last decades, the labor market are getting transforming due to the information technology, the globalization process and digitalization of the labor market. So due to these reasons, the labor market getting new forms of job. For example, people are more interested, or whatever you say, forced to have some precarious employment. Precarious employment means the work that doesn't have a certain goal in terms of salary, in terms of benefits and protection, right? So, for example, contextual job, self-employment job, you know, part-time job, on-call job, on-demand job. These are the things, freelancing, these are the things are booming, you know, in developed countries like Canada.
Yes.
So, you know, the regular employees and regular workers are well protected with the social, you know, security system, employment standard or something. But, you know, as these employees, these workers are new in the, you know, labor market. So it is still almost unrecognized, almost, you know, unstructured how they will be protected when they get sick, injured, or when they have to stop working due to any reason, right? So
yes.
My research project that I am working now, I'm focusing and interested to analyze and look into how self-employed worker in a precarious employment market, precarious labor market, how a self-employed worker, you know, navigate, you know, manage their health and illness, including livelihood, everyday life, when they get sick or injured, when they cannot work, when they can earn, you know, how they are supported, you know, what are the experience they face. So these the research, basically this research is a part of a Canadian federal government large project. So, you know, so there are five streams: self-employment, you know, foreign workers, agriculture workers, and, you know, home care providers, So my project is one of them. So these all are precarious work. Out of the regular employment sector. So I think based on our findings, based on our recommendation, the Canadian government, especially Ontario, would be reform their social security policy level standard or something. So yeah. So I'm really excited because I'm just now collecting data, conducting interviews, talking with the self-employed workers from different fields, and it's really interesting. I'm getting really interesting findings.
Amazing research, and best of luck to you with these researches. And Tohit sir, very important question. Why should international students choose Canada for higher studies?
First of all, there is a whatever you say, it's maybe myth or not. There is a reputation. There is a there are some words airing around the aspirants. There is a fact of North American degree. For example, me, like when I start my bachelor degree, and I decided, I was thinking to be in academia. I was adamant and rigid that if I get or if I go for higher degree, like the PhD, if I don't, that's fine. If I go, I must go North America for my PhD, because since the university, like the undergraduate, I knew something. There's the North American degree is an issue. Like the you have a North American degree, like there is a different vibes, different moods, right? That is not the evidence, but the reality is, of course, the North American degree education system is globally recognized, globally accepted, and it's still differently. There is a distinction. North American degree with even Europe and others. So that is the one thing. There is no question the quality and accreditation about the North American degree and education system. And most of the cases, not me, I think, but most of the cases, another thing is the immigration system. The people like, young, from these generations, like of course, they are looking for some places or some countries where they can live peacefully with social justice, protection, without hassle. So in terms of immigration process and system, I think Canada is still very convenient for the people like the developing societies, very convenient. And so it's a different topic. We can talk another day, so why convenient, why easy, and if you compare to the Australia and Europe and other countries. Yeah, so two things, the quality education and immigration.
I do agree with you, and it is very recognized, the North American degree. And so my next question to you is, how can Bangladeshi students prepare for higher studies in Canada?
Lots of students every year, are joining in Canadian education system, attending the, school. So there are lots of things like you have to, there are three streams. Some people may be interested in, bachelor degree and, graduate program or diploma, college diploma, something, okay? So first, for everything, first of all, you need a language test score, right? So yes. For example, TOEFL or IELTS, anything. So
or even SAT, right? SAT.
Yeah. So first of all, I think that is the common for everything. But it's in a single word, but in a single sentence, it's difficult to explain. But it depends on the program, depends on the school, depends on the many issues we have to consider, right? So English language test, for if I Yes, for example, if we focus on graduate program like master's and PhD, for example, master's, so you need the language test score. So for Canada, you need a good CGPA, because
yes.
In Canada, most of the cases they don't require GRE, but unlike USA they require GRE. So for Canada, they consider the CGPA. So it is better if you have a good CGPA, but it depends, you know, you can compensate with other things. And of course you need a SOP or LOI, like you need to explain what you want to do and why Canada, why this program, right? And
yes.
This is a letter of explanation. You need like a SOP, and you need two academic recommendation letter at least, like from your previous university professor or your employer or something. You need a sample writing, and yeah, so these are things you need. But you know, like one thing I want to mention is this is called imposter syndrome. So in Bangladesh, some of the students, or many of the students, suffers from imposter syndrome. That's, I can do that, it's not me, it's not for me, or it's maybe more difficult, challenging. But this is not the fact. The fact is, if you have a target, if you have a dream to go there for degree, so you have to invest some time.
Yes.
You have to invest some time. You have to have a plan. Go ahead, right? And for the graduate program, you need to, first of all, you need to have a dream that you want to go
yes.
North America for the higher degree, right? Then you can prepare. You can start your preparation from mid of during the bachelor program or after finishing bachelor program. So there are some set issue you can the people can avail. Yeah.
Yes. No. I definitely agree with you. Students should have dreams and goals as well, and they should work on that. Work on it. They should, like you mentioned, they should invest time on it.
Yeah.
And I believe.
These are the issue. Like
yes.
Only one topic. Like on a single topic, I can talk a couple of hours. So that's
yes.
why I just brief. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're 100%. Like I 100% agree with you, and you're very true. And also, tell me about the funding opportunities for the undergraduate and graduate admissions.
Yeah, that is the most arresting issues for for this process. For undergrad, so far I know, very limited opportunity for funding. Most of the students, comes in Canada for bachelor degree based on the self-funding. But yes, if you there are some outstanding, if you have outstanding academic record, outstanding capacity, you can demonstrate your outstanding capacity in terms of your academic record, in terms of your community work, and there are some very prestigious scholarship for the undergrad students, but it's competitive. There are, of course, this competitive, and also more or less all of the university have some partial funding, like partial, that is the entrance scholarship for bachelor degree, that is partial. But I don't think this is enough. This is very very limited,
yes,
for bachelor. And for PhD and master's, I mean the graduate program is an abundant opportunity, very few students comes in Canada, you know, and doing a graduate program based on self-finance. Most of the students based on the scholarship and funding. So in Canada, yeah. So if there are some issues you have to consider here, like the stream, like the STEM, for example, science, technology, engineering. Of course, they have the most of the opportunity, like they have, and it's more easy, right? Yes. And in second position is the social science, humanities, interdisciplinary something. So I would say there's lots of opportunity. This is not, I don't think it's scarce of opportunities, lots of opportunity. And thirdly, I can say for the business, yeah. They have, because you know, business program is very expensive, so but they have opportunity for funding, but it's a little bit competitive. It's a little bit competitive compared to the social science and STEM.
Yeah, and the business program is very expensive. I saw it. It's like 50 grand per. Every year. And also, Toitzer, I want to know, what are some of the life skills international students should have?
Life skill, you know, the of course, this is also important issue, you know, apart from your academic effort, like, because whenever you go to a new country, it's a new culture, multicultural society, you know, there is issues, the cultural shock, you know, there is the issue, cultural shock, like you are oriented, everything new. So your food, your get up, your norms, way of talking, everything. So you should have some social skills. So you mean the question based on the social skill, right?
Yes.
Social. Right, like how you adjust with the new academic system, new environment. Yes. Weather, for example, in Canada, weather is very a major issue because in winter you can see the very inclement weather we have to face. So so you have to mentally prepare for that, and food is very one of the major issues, because you know, food is very cultural. So it's good if you can learn from your mom to cook, like the, you know, cooking.
Yes.
If you have some cooking skills, right? So if it's better if you don't scared with cooking, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Yeah. So that's
tackling, like you mentioned, tackling culture shock is very important, because that's what I had to go through when I first when I came to Canada in 2010. My next question is, what are some of the tips and advice you have for international students who are not only pursuing higher education, but you know, like living costs is increasing, like the rent, the food prices. We're currently in, like, Canada is currently in inflation, and food prices are increasing. So what tips and advice do you have for these students?
You know, it's very unfortunate that Canadian living is one of the expensive, and one of the top expenses, you know, our country. So
that is true.
And in addition, it is rising. It's not like in a stable size. Yeah, that's the issue. So you know, there is a legal. It's if you are funded fully, that doesn't matter. You know, because everything is covered by the funding from university. But if you are, if you are studying, you know, based on self-finance, so you have to be hardworking.
Yes.
But it's still possible. I agree. It's I would say it's still possible 20 hours per week. You are permitted to work 20 hours per week, you know, as an international student. So if you are, you can work hard at this 20 hours per week, 60 hours per, you know.
You mean part-time
80
job?
Hours per month, hours per month. So it's enough to, you know, it's enough for your living. You can manage. So you can manage your living. That's one very important things. But if you, in my view, if you think you will work and study, I mean, you pay, you have planned to pay your tuition from your earning, it's entirely difficult. It's entirely challenging. You know, you can some compensate. Like in summer, you can work, you know, whatever you want. There is no restriction, maybe, you know, for the hours. So if you can save, then you can pay your partial tuition for the next fall or winter. But if you have planned to work and pay your tuition, it's impossible in Canada. Because in especially in Ontario, I don't know the other province, like the, you know, Winnipeg, Alberta, but in Ontario it's not possible.
Well, I do see some students working full time and as well as doing full time in their university. It is very stressful, and like you said,
you can work full time. You can work full time if you are a full time student. It's illegal.
It's illegal to work full time if you're a full time student.
Yeah, if you are full time student, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
And just leave this issue. But, you know, the education system in Canada, it's a system that you have to, like, you have to wrestle with, like, you have to handle with. But if you work more, it's your degree would be procrastinated. Your degree would be
That's what I wanted to talk about. It's very stressful, and you will not be able to manage your time properly. So, Twitter, my one last final. I have a one last question for you. What is next for Tohit Khan? What's your future plan?
Thank you for focusing on my future plan. Like, you know, I am already in university. Like, I am on leave, that is called study leave. So I am here, and in Bangladesh, University located in Dhaka. So it's a reputed university in the context of Bangladesh. So first of all, after finishing my degree, I will come back to Bangladesh and join my university. I will serve. That's my, you know, immediate answer. However, I want to see my, I want to prepare my, myself in a global academy. So I want to see myself as a global scholar, you know, in the future. So, you know, the, for example, I am almost for 8 or 9 months. I am working from home, but working from Bangladesh basically. So you can work. It's possible. You can work from anywhere, collaborating with anybody from any corner of the world. So that's my target. That's to prepare myself as a global scholar, you know, and I want to collaborate. I like to collaborate with scholars from the, you know, global academia. So that's it. So I'd be happy if I can establish myself as a researcher, more happy than a teacher, basically. Yeah.
Wow. So best of wishes to you. Best wishes to you, sir, for being a global scholar. And I would love to collaborate with you as well and have you in the podcast. Have
My
you in the
pleasure,
Talking
yeah.
Stack here again. And I want to thank you for your insight, for your knowledge, sir. I myself learned as well, besides my listeners. And all the best of luck to you, Tohit sir, and have a wonderful day, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Saqif. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, sir. And hope to have you ever here again. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to Talking BizTech. Do not forget to subscribe and hit the notification bell. And again, if you want to be a part of the video community, the link is down in the description box. And so thank you again for tuning in and have a wonderful day. Bye.